Someone to Care International Ministries.
Someone to care. Someone to share. All your troubles are like no other.
People ask me how I am. I get these calls from India over Skype. How are you doing, Pastor? How are you doing? I said, I'm doing great. The Word says I'm healed. And they've heard me cough because, you know, we're on the screens there. And how are you doing? And I said, well, the Word of God says this. And for those of you that need anything from the Lord, this is what God says. In my case here, He says, I'm healed. Isaiah said He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace is upon Him, and by His stripes I am healed. Now that's what the Word of God says. He also says in Psalms that He sent His Word and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. That's what the Word of God says. So I have a choice. I either go by what the Word of God says, or I go by the way I sound, think, or feel. And my choice is to believe the Word. And I just have never seen the Word fail. And so I'm doing so much better, and I just praise God for it. And I'm just thankful for all the little things that He does. I'm so thankful for Steve back there that come to help us. Isn't he good? I mean, you're all good, but I mean, we've been praying for guitar. And that's just awesome. So we was in here Wednesday night. We just had a good time. You don't want to miss Wednesday nights because we're having a good time. Well, are you ready to hear the Word of God? I love the Word of God. I love Jesus. And I just usually don't know exactly where the Lord's going to take me. But I do pray that He will search the hearts of His people. And then He'll do that which is good for you. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. I've been having a bunch of fun out there on the website. I've been playing Farmville. Now, I hate to tell you this. It's addictive. You may have to pray me out of it. But I've been having a good time. And I've been making friends out there on Farmville. And these friends that I've been making, from what I can tell, most of them need Jesus. And I was thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And then all at once, I posted a few things on there about the Lord and Resurrection Sunday. Next thing I know, they're posting all their psychic stuff, and one of them wanted me to agree with joining vodka. Now, in the earlier days, I would have agreed to that, because that's what I used. But that's been a long time ago. But it's been a place where you could post things, and I don't do it very often because I want them to read my post. And those that are playing the game, they are looking for what I put up there. They're watching for my picture. But every now and then I just slip in a little thing about Jesus. Because you see, Jesus loves this world. That's what He came for. And sometimes we as Christians, I think we get a little bit, maybe too dogmatic about it. There was a time when I would say, you shouldn't play Farmville. What are you doing that for? Because a lot of what I see on there is definitely not the Lord. I mean, it's not bad stuff, but you know, it's just different from what I'm used to. But sometimes I think we have to reach out and reach into where people are. And we're living in a time and an age when I believe that God's saying, I want you to go into the highways and into the byways. I want you to compel them to come in because I'm coming soon. A lot of times people don't like to hear that Jesus Christ is coming soon, that He's coming back. But He is. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I'm going to tell you the way it is. And I know I make people mad. But when you stand before Jesus Christ at that judgment throne, You're going to know that you've heard the truth. You're going to know that you've had the opportunity, because we're coming into this resurrection time. I talk sometimes to people about real salvation. There's a fake salvation, and there's a real salvation. And those that are playing around with a fake salvation, those that are just trying to act it out, when they stand before that judgment throne, and Jesus Christ says, "Why are you here?" And you can't say, "Because I'm a blood-bought, blood-washed child of the Most High God." If you can't say that, he's going to say, "I never knew you."
That's right.
There is a real salvation, and there is a fake salvation. And I might not know the difference, but he does. The church is full of people that think they're saved, think they're going to heaven, think they're ready. And yet, they're walking in something that's not real. They're walking in a religious spirit. They're walking in a religious power. They're walking in something besides the power and the presence and the anointing of Jesus Christ. And therefore, they can walk in and out as they want to. Therefore, they can basically sin if they want to or not sin if they want to, because they're walking under religious spirit. There are people that have come out of the church as children. They've grown up that way. And all they've ever seen is the unreal part of it. The gossiping and the lying and everything that is not of God. And people see that. But Jesus came that you might have life. And that you might have that more abundant life. Not just a form of godliness. It's that many have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. Jesus Christ is all powerful, and he is all powerful because he has resurrection power. He has the resurrection power at work within his heart, at work, at all points and times. He is the one who said, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." There was a man named Lazarus, and he died, and they put him in a tomb, and his sisters called for Jesus. Jesus didn't come right away. Jesus wasn't in a hurry to get there. Have you ever been called to go to pray for the sick? And you just got to be in such a hurry to get there. Well, if we don't get there right now, they're going to die. Jesus wasn't in a hurry. He didn't get in a hurry. And his disciples didn't understand it, but he knew who he was. The church today do not know who they are. I sometimes wonder, I say, "God, do I know who I am?" And I'm afraid that my answer sometimes is, "I'm not sure." But the scriptures tell us who we are if we will just believe what they say. Jesus didn't get in a hurry that day because he knew who he was. He knew. But when he got there and Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days and was stinking and that's kind of where the church is today. A lot of them are in their tombs. They're laying back there in the religious stuff and they're stinking. And it's time for some on fire, burning me, Holy Ghost Christians that begin to go out and to cause this resurrection to take place amongst God's so-called named kids. Well, when Jesus got around going there, he just said, "Roll the stone away." "But Master, he stinks by now." Church mind, religious mind, can't quite figure this out. I mean, he's dead. Too late. But Jesus knew who he was, didn't he? Do you know who you are? Whew. Oh, man. I've seen the dead raised, so I know what happens today. I've talked about that some. But Jesus goes up to that tomb. And he's not worried about it stinking. Ah. But I don't want to get too close to that person. I mean, after all, you know. Quit worrying about it. Do you know who you are? Jesus didn't care if he was laying dead, rotted, stinking. It didn't make any difference to Jesus. Because he knew that he was the resurrection God. And when he got there and Martha, Mary, they said, "Oh, but Jesus, had you been here, if you had just been here, our brother would not have died." Well, where is Jesus? Where is he? In you? Where is that resurrection power today? Where is it? It's in you. Know you not that you're the temple of the Most High God? Jesus Christ lives within you, and that means resurrection power lives within you. Do you know who you are? Do you really know? You have power and authority. Jesus appointed the disciples and gave them power. He empowered them and he sent them out with that power to do the work, to do the greater works. Maybe this will be my fourth message on the greater works. But he sent them out. He's sending you out. But you've got to know who you are. And he stood there with the stone rolled back. And he looked inside. He didn't see any live person in there. He saw the one that they said he stinks. Now, here's something about Jesus. Get ready. But it said, he spoke with a loud voice. And he said, "Lazarus! Lazarus! Church! Come forth! Come forth! Arise!" Guy gets up. Hops out. Now he has to hop because he's all bound up. He still got the grave clothes on. But he's alive. You're going to get people that come to the altar to get born again to be saved. And they're still in the grave clothes. They still stink. They still got their old maybe alcohol mentality. They've still got their old drug mentality. They've still got their old sin and lust and all of the other stuff that the church has allowed them to have. And they come and they stink. But Jesus said, "Turn them loose." In other words, get close enough to unwind those grave clothes. Ew, but they stink. They had little rotten flesh stuck to them, you know. He's still there. Just because somebody comes to this altar to get saved and to get born again don't mean that they have arrived. It don't mean that you can expect them to be everything perfect overnight. And it don't mean that you can expect yourself to have arrived. Sometimes people just stick too much out of themselves. And then when they fail, they do a number on themselves. You're going to fail. Because if you don't have failures, you'll never grow. If you don't learn through the mistakes that you make to keep looking up, to keep looking up. I've talked to different people and they say, we're going through such a hard time. It's such a hard time that we're going through. If I tell somebody that, they say, yeah, everybody is. And we are going through hard times. And why? I think it's because the church does not know who they are. They do not know and understand the resurrection power that lives within them. They do not know and understand that they can say to that person that's having a hard time, "I speak life to you. I speak life over you. That lady that I raised from the dead, I said, I bind that spirit of death. and I speak life. And I speak healing. And she walked home. Now, we have that power within us. But most of the church will sit back and say, I don't believe that. Well, you won't make it happen either. Most of the people in so-called religious settings need some deliverance. But they'll argue with you. Well, a Christian can't have a demon. Okay. Keep it. Just keep it. But they can die with cancer. What is that? It's sure not life. It's sure not Christ. It's sure not God. It must be from a demonic source. I'd say deliverance might be the thing. Or we can have our illicit affairs, or we can just be together and we don't have to be married, you know? You got a demon of lust that has a hold of you, that has lied to you, and has said religion will work for you. If you want to go to church, and I don't know why they go, but if you want to go to church, that's okay. But don't come to this church, you'll get set free, you'll get delivered. Someday, everyone is going to stand before the judgment throne of God. And you don't know when that's going to be. You don't know. I almost got there this morning. Sam loves to tell it, but I'll tell it. Because I pulled out of my highway, out on that interstate, and I didn't see that big old truck full of logs until I had to get just pretty much off the road because he couldn't get over. But I didn't see him. And I wouldn't do it on purpose. But just that fast. You don't know. You just don't know. And so you need to be ready instantly at all times in all seasons, because someday you'll stand before the judgment throne. There are some things that are certain. One certain thing is, you find it in Mark 12:18, but it says the Sadducees came and they said, there's no resurrection. There's no resurrection. If there was no resurrection, then there's no resurrection power. If there's no resurrection power, then you don't have the power of God within you. And if you don't have the power of God within you, why bother? But there is resurrection. But the Sadducees and the religious forms, then there's some that they believe in the resurrection, but, you know, it's like, oh well. They just kind of put it down, and they don't want to do that themselves. They don't want to be responsible to rise up and speak life into somebody or to speak healing over somebody, because what if it doesn't work? What will they think of me? Who cares? It will work. It will work when Jesus works it. It will work. It will never work when you try to work it, because it's Him that does it. So who cares what somebody thinks of you? It's all about Jesus. It's all about the power that's within Him, and it's all about you hearing Him and following Him. There will be a resurrection to life or to death. To life or to death, there will be a resurrection. And we find that in John. And I'm not going to send you there because it'll take too much time if I read all of these. But there's a resurrection to life or a resurrection to death. So for the people that say, well, when we die, we'll just get buried and that's it. I'm sorry. I don't care how terrible of a sinner you are. You're still going to have a resurrection. And there's still going to be a judgment. And you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And those that go to hell are going to burn for eternity and for eternity and for eternity. Some people say, well, I don't want to scare people into heaven. Well, I'd like to scare you out of hell. And I said I'd tell you the truth. Because those that go to hell, there's no way out. It's eternal. And those that deny the power of God, and those that just act like they're serving God, those that have become just kind of lukewarm, and they're not really serious with God, and when they stand before that judgment throne, what is God going to say? Now, I know He's a loving God, and I know that we're standing under the blood of Jesus, and I know that the blood covers a lot, but when you know to do right, and you don't do it, I think we need to consider that God is calling the church to come forth. God is calling a people to come forth. God is saying, wake up and let's get with the program, because people are dying and going to hell. And there's no way out. There is a resurrection to death, but there's a resurrection to life. When Jesus and Lazarus come out of there, He was calling him into life. And He said, loose him and let him go. I don't know how many said, I will. Let me go do it. That's what I'm looking for today. I will. Let me go. I'll go, Jesus, and I'll help get him loose, and I'll bring him into the fold. Jesus has power over death and over life. He has power. And there's something else that you need to understand. You can choose life now, or you can choose death. Joshua 25:15, he said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I made that decision in my own heart and in my own life many years ago. I think about back in 1968 or 69 is when I got born again. I made that decision. I will serve the Lord. And I have never had a desire to backslide. Maybe a few times to run, but never to backslide, never to leave Him, never to go away from Him. As for me and my house, I'll praise, I'll sing. I will serve the Lord. And that's it. But you know, until you get a made up mind, you're in now. You wishy-washy. And this is where I say, you need to get saved for real. You need to get that resurrection power at work within you. Because you might say, well, church is boring. Well, hang around me for a while. You might have to come to my house anymore, but hang around me for a while. I don't get bored. I got too much to do. Church should never be boring. If you don't have anything to do, there's a whole city full of people just waiting for somebody to knock on their door, the highways and the byways, and compel them to come in. There's a whole bunch of things that need to be done and that need to be accomplished. And God's got somebody in mind to do it. If you're bored, come hang around here for a while, because we'll sure put you to work. I've heard people say, well, I just don't have anything to do. Well, that don't happen around here. There's too much to do. The problem is that they want to do something beyond or beside what God's saying to do. Easy way out. Jesus did not take the easy way out. He took the way of the cross. He took the way where they beat Him and put the stripes on His back. They put the nails on His hands. The blood ran. The nails on His feet. The blood ran. He suffered the most horrible death that anybody could suffer, and He didn't have to. And you think it's hard to get up and go to church on Sunday morning? I usually get here if I have to crawl into this altar, this pulpit. I think there's only been a time or two that I couldn't crawl. But it's not that hard to do when you stop and realize what Jesus did for you. I don't ever want to go back from where I was. That old fearful, whatever all was wrong with me. I want to keep coming out of it. I want to keep going forward with Jesus. I don't care how hard it is. It'll never be as hard as what He walked through because He loved you. And these are decisions that we have to make. The elders, the council, the church people, Pharisees, Sadducees, they all come against Jesus because they were satisfied with their religious spirits. I'm not satisfied with something that is not full of the power and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I'm not satisfied unless I can lay hands on somebody and then I can see the power of God hit them, and that they can be healed, they can be touched, they can be changed, they can be saved. I'm not satisfied unless they can have it. And I don't want you to be satisfied. There's not one person in this place today that Jesus can't pour His power through. And when that anointing, when that presence of His love saturates you, oh my, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. To be empowered. To be called. To be chosen. And to be ordained. We learned the other day to be ordained with His fruits. To be ordained with the fruits of Christ. Will you go? And will you help to loose those that need a touch? Can you lift your hands and say, Lord, fill me and let me go and touch somebody? The time of the church standing around the altar, jumping and shouting and wearing themselves out in some kind of a frenzy needs to be done with. You need to get filled up and take that out the door to the lost and dying world. The altar is here to set you free. But after you get set free, if you want to jump a little bit, fine. But take it out the door. Don't wear yourself down. Let the resurrection power be at work in your hearts and in your lives. You can choose that life. Or you can reject it. But one thing you cannot do, and that's fool God. You cannot fool God. You can't con Him. You can't put on an act for Him and make Him believe it. He'll never get you through the pearly gates. Because when you stand there, you're either under the blood or you're not. And I don't think Christ puts His blood on things that are false. I don't think He touches that which is fake. You got to get real with God. And when you get real, you'll have something in your life that you'll never want to turn away from. Well, glory. They asked Jesus one day, are you the King of the Jews? He's not only the King of the Jews, He's the King of the church, He's the King of the world, He is the King of kings, and He is the Lord of lords. He is the Most High God. And He loves me. And He loves you. Wow. I'm loved by the King. The King loves me. Say it. The King loves me. Say it. The King of kings. He loves me. His name is Jesus.
He loves me.
You know, people are looking for love every place. And it's right there. Right there. And if you quit fighting with each other or anybody and look up and say, The King loves me. That's good enough. The King loves me. That's what I mean. Well, I know we've got a lot going on today and I need to quit. But I'll tell you what. Today, if you never got anything else out of this, I want you to know that Jesus wants to empower you with His promises and with His Spirit. And He wants to use you to do His work. And He's got a plan. If you'll just step into it. Let's everybody stand to our feet. Father God, I pray that You touch each and every person here in this place. Lord God, that You sort out those that You've got that calling, and Lord God, those that will say yes to the calling. I know You've got the calling every place, but those that will say yes. I believe You have people in this place this morning, and they'll say yes to the calling. And then, Lord God, I pray that You look deep down into people's hearts, those in the TV audience, those even in this place, and that You cause them to search their hearts, and that You search their heart. Lord, if there be one here, and they're not ready to meet You, one person in that TV audience, if they're not ready, Lord Jesus, I pray that You touch them now with Your presence, with Your power, with Your love, and with Your abilities to say yes, Jesus. Only by Your Spirit can it happen for real. Oh, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, we speak the blood covering upon them. And I pray that right now that You empower Your people, that You heal Your people, that You do the work. Is there anyone that will say yes to Jesus this morning? Is there a need here? And You want me to pray with You. You want to come and just let me pray with You. No matter what the need might be, I'll tell You something, God will move upon it. If there's someone here and you just want to come back to Jesus, if you just want to say, yes, Jesus, here I am. I give myself totally to You. You can do it right where you stand. Or you can come and just step up under this anointing and just let us pray with you. Is there anyone here that will come for prayer this morning? Anyone? The Holy Ghost is here. Thank You, Lord God. He's touching some of you right now. Just be healed. Receive that healing touch. Touch. Touch with Your healing power. Just touch, Lord God. Just touch. Healing. Healing, Lord. Sweet, sweet Jesus. There's a sweet, sweet presence just moving in this place. Just touch, Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Just touch them, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, He's saying to us to just come before My presence and to just lay everything aside. Just lay the problems aside. Just lay everything aside and let Me touch You and let Me be Your Lord and let Me be Your God. I'm here for you this day. The Lord is saying to come. 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 I know that God's trying to get someone's attention. And I'm not going to hold this too long. But as we close out here, if you feel that you want me to pray with you, you can come even after we close. But whatever you do, don't leave this place without being in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus Christ is Lord, and He does love you. I pray His blessings upon you as we go from here. We pray blessings upon the food that we're about to receive. We ask You, Lord God, that You just cause it to be a holy nourishment into our bodies, sanctified holy unto us. And Lord, we're thankful for it. I pray, Lord God, that the people that are here today, Lord God, that you have touched them with the power of your Holy Spirit. Touch them, Lord. And that person or persons that you're dealing in their heart right now, I pray, Lord God, that you continue to deal. And as people go forth from this place, let them go under your divine protection. And blessings to go with them. And Lord Jesus, just cause every good and wonderful and happy thing to come to them today and throughout this week, and then bring them back.
Someone to care. Someone to share. All your troubles are like no other can do. You'll come down from the sky. You'll brush the tears.